Learning by Proxy with Vivek Srinivasan. Experience is showing that economics textbooks are soon going to be entirely useless. Hi, this week I'm going to be talking about dysfunctional economics. 2020 changed a lot of things around the world. But one of the most fundamental things it seemed to have upended is the way people look at jobs. Not since 2008 had so much job loss had been registered as had been registered in 2020. In fact, I would argue that in 2020 more people lost jobs than even during 2008. But what had changed was the context in which this job loss happened. In 2008, there was no mobile internet. There was even fewer people who could actually access mobile internet back in 2008. But that all changed in the intervening decade. And what also happened was that a whole bunch of these businesses such as Uber, DoorDash, Care.com, etc. had popped up, which made it possible for people to actually sell their time through these platforms. And if you're smart enough about it, you can make a lot of money. You can make far more than minimum wages that most of the organizations are willing to pay blue-collar workers. And that fundamentally changed the way people looked at work and looked at jobs. So when the layoffs happened in 2020, what happened was corporations that were coming back to full force after the pandemic found that there was a tremendous shortage of workers available for them to hire. And that shortage did not relent at all, even though inflation shot up, inflation went down, interest rates shot up, interest rates have been kept up. None of those actions have made that problem any easier on any of the corporations. But the thing with economics is that the principles are very clear and straightforward. Economics treats inflation as a problem that has to be curtailed. It is something that has to be brought down. And the tool that is at the disposal of the central bank is the interest rate to bring down inflation. The theory goes that if you increase interest rates, people stop borrowing, and because they stop borrowing, demand comes down and therefore inflation comes down. But in practice, that's not what we are seeing happen. The thing is, if you take large corporations, you take an Apple, Microsoft, Ford, these are not companies that are going to the bank asking for them to lend money to them. They usually raise money using bond issued on the market. And markets are valuing the debt they are providing these companies based on their credit rating and the profits that these companies are generating, which is huge. When it comes to poor people, they do not have any access to the banking channel at all because most of them have no credit rating. Even if they do have credit rating, it is quite poor. And at the end of the day, they are ending up borrowing money from payday loan sharks. And what happens is they get money at between 50% and 500% per annum regularly. That leaves the small and medium businesses who are left borrowing from banks, and they are the ones that are feeling the squeeze and ceding turf to large corporations. So where you had a cafe, now you have a Starbucks popping up. Apart from that, there are these people who play in the margins, right? So when you have a lot of money, you can play with margins, you can borrow money, and you know, you can use the spread to make money. And those are the people who have really got hit by the interest rate hikes. A very famous casualty is the Silicon Valley Bank. So as a net result, when you look at all of the interest rate hike that has taken place over this period of time, it has not in any way dented the workers at the end of the day, because they were never borrowing from the banks in the first place. And what has happened in turn is the continued inflation is actually translating into worker action, which is they're all going on strikes. And to top that off, what they're also noticing is that all of this action being taken by the government is not having any effect at all on the unemployment rate, which is at historic lows. So you have hotel workers, you have auto workers, you have casino workers, logistics workers, everybody going on strike because they know that this is their moment in time. This is the time that they have to get better wages for themselves, get better deals for themselves, because there aren't any other workers available in the market. You are not going to be able to recruit anybody and bring them in and fill in the place. You need these workers. There are not too many unemployed. So what is the non-stop interest rate doing? It has to have some effect somewhere. And that's where comes the treasury bonds. Now, the treasury bonds are instruments issued by the government of the United States. And its primary purpose is to raise money for the government. The US government has been run on a deficit for a very, very long time. And this gap between tax income and what the government actually spends is financed by raising debt through the treasury bonds. Treasury bonds are considered to be very, very safe because the treasury bonds are dollar denominated and the United States government has a monopoly on printing the dollar. So there is no question of default. They'll print enough dollars to pay back the debt whenever it comes due. What does that money go into? Mostly into financing war in other countries and keeping the rich rich by giving them tax breaks. Now, the treasury bond is an instrument that has a face value, think of it as a principal, which let's say is $1,000, and the government promises to pay a certain interest every year, which is called the coupon rate, which let's say is 3%. What happens when the market is strong is that the treasury bond will sell at a little over $1,000. So you might have to pay $1,010 or $1,015 to buy a 3% coupon rate treasury bond, which means your actual yield is 3% minus 1% or 1.5%. So that's the yield that you're actually getting on the treasury bond. Whereas when the market is weak, what happens is your treasury bond prices dip. So in this case, for example, when the interest rates are higher and I can get better returns on my investment elsewhere, why would I invest my money in treasury bonds? I will invest it elsewhere. So for the treasury bond holders, if they want to trade in treasury bonds, if they want to sell their treasury bonds, they need to sell it at a price below 1,000 to increase that 3% to maybe 4% or 5% in order to make it interesting enough for a buyer to buy. What happened over the last few weeks is that the United States 10-year bond hit a 5% yield, which is a high not seen since 2008. And part of the problem is that that means that there is a huge selling action that is taking place on the treasury bond side. You know, there is a set of bond owners who are selling this asset and getting out of that market. And because the interest rates are high, the market is demanding better returns or higher returns on those treasury bonds. If you look at who is selling, over the last couple of years, a majority of the selling has actually come from Japan and China, who are the biggest sellers of US treasury bonds. Put together, the two countries have sold a combined $350 billion in US treasury bonds, while there's a small amount of bond purchase that has taken place in Europe. Month-on-month inflation, which was coming down through the beginning of 2023, has again started trending upward, which is not what was expected given that interest rates were being hiked so much and it was supposed to suck the demand out of the market. The current situation makes it rather difficult for the Fed to continue to increase interest rates, because here the interest rates seem to be cutting back on the United States government. They are going back to a situation where the treasury bonds are now being expected to pay a lot more for raising loans, and the government is anyway facing a looming shutdown in a matter of another 20 odd days. By the 15th of November, the loan that was arranged on the 1st of October will run out, and they will have to pass a law in the House and the Senate in order to be able to keep the government functioning and funded. In such a situation, what does the Fed do? This is going to be a huge blow to them. And in addition to that, the real estate industry has taken a huge dip as a result of all these interest rate hikes, because almost all of the real estate is financed using loans. And the current home sales is at a historic low, which is the same that we had seen in the beginning of 2020 when the pandemic had just been unleashed. So US home sales are collapsing. You have a situation where interest rates are already at historic highs. Inflation is not coming down. Neither is unemployment going up. So this is the predicament that the US is faced with. What has more fundamentally happened is that you used to have an economy where the large corporations hired a large number of people, but a very small percentage of the workforce. Whereas small and medium businesses used to hire a huge percentage of the workforce, and a small percentage of people worked as freelancers. Because the US has functioned in a manner where they want to allow the rich to get richer and richer and richer, and as a consequence have allowed monopolies to thrive across the Silicon Valley, there are a lot of large companies that hire a large percentage of the workforce. The small and medium businesses have been squeezed out completely. And there's a large number of people who are now working as freelancers because there are so many options available. And that is upending all of the economic theories that have been put forth over the last 100 years. What cause and effect had been established is not functioning. And I think it's time to rip up those textbooks and write new ones for the new economy. That brings me to the end of this podcast. I hope to bring you another one pretty soon. Till then, goodbye.